Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, we have come to that section in Romans chapter 3 where Paul climaxes his teaching that man is a sinner. Universally, men are sinners. That is, everybody is a sinner under the indictment of a holy God. And he climaxes his argument in chapter 3 by quoting a number of Old Testament passages and stringing them all together in that well-known section in Romans 3, 10 and following, which begins by saying, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. And the part that I just quoted, we could say, is man's natural condition, man's basic character, his innate character, what he is like by birth, by nature, by his humanity, apart from the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit in his life. This is man's true condition. It is not a pretty picture. It is not a popular picture. It is not the picture that non-Christians are going to like or accept of themselves. They're not going to readily take to this picture, this portrait of their natural condition and character. They're going to protest against it. They're going to deny it. They're going to object to it. They're going to hate it. They're going to denounce it. They're going to call it names. They're going to replace it with other philosophies that man is naturally good. He's basically good. That anything that is wrong with man is the problem of his environment. It has nothing to do with his innate condition. It's a strange thing that we can think that somehow everybody is born good, but everybody turns out bad, and the blame for the bad that everybody turns toward is other people who were all themselves born basically good, and themselves were corrupted by other people who were bad. But if all the other people who were bad were born basically good, where does this bad influence keep coming from that keeps corrupting everybody the same way? You see what I'm talking about? It doesn't even make sense. It appeals to people because nobody likes to think that I am corrupt. I am sinful. I am no good. I am basically bad. And will stay that way. And there's no hope for change except in Jesus Christ. Men have a natural antipathy toward God, a natural antipathy toward the gospel, a natural antipathy toward Christ, a natural antipathy toward the message of the cross. That's part of it. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. That's part of our unrighteous natural condition. But that's the only thing that explains what we see. Apart from the fact that the Bible clearly teaches it, and if we say that we are people who believe the Bible, then we will accept this as truth because God said it. But it's really the only thing that I can see that explains the human condition as we know it. We live in a world that is filled with sin and corruption and violence and crime and injustice. And we decry that. Even unsaved people see that and decry that. They don't like that. And they see that it's wrong. They see that it seems like the whole world is gone bad, has gone bad, and it has, of course. And yet they want to insist that man is basically good. That people are born good, or at the very least, are born neutral. Nobody's born bad. We're born neutral, and it's only our environment that turns us bad. And I'm saying again, yes, it's obvious that there's a plenty of bad in the environment to turn everybody bad, but if everybody is born good, then how do we get this bad environment that turns everybody bad? Does that make sense? If everybody is born good, then how does everybody end up bad, being influenced toward bad by everybody, by other people who were born good? I said that before. I'm repeating myself, but I hope that that will sink in a bit. You see, the fact of the matter is, what we want to do is believe that we were born good. Maybe other people were born bad, but we were born good. But what makes us think that if other people were born bad, that we were born good? What? How do you explain that? How do you explain that? That doesn't make sense either. See, there's really no logical explanation for what we observe, for what our experiences are and observations in life are, apart from the biblical explanation. Here it is. Here it is. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. That's the explanation. That makes sense of what we observe. And that should cause us to realize how much we need help, how much we need rescue, how much we need salvation, how much we need God. God, please, save me from myself. Save me from sin. Save me from destruction. Save me from myself. And so man's character is described in Romans 3:10 through 12. And then man's conduct is described in verses 13 through 17. And now Paul begins to enumerate many sins, again, pulling from Old Testament scriptures. And I'll read it now from the New American Standard, verse 13. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues they keep deceiving. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their paths, and the path of peace they have not known. Well, he starts out in verses 13 and 14 with sins of speech. He talks about the throat, the tongue, the lips, the mouth. These are all part of the physical parts of our body that produce speech. The throat, he says, is a source of corrupt speech. The tongue, he says, is a source of lying speech and deceit. The lips, he says, are a source of destructive speech. We use our lips to destroy. The mouth, he says, is a source of angry, vengeful, hateful speech. And what he says is true. And again, we know it's true. We know it by experience. We know it by observation. We know it because we are that way. Even when we don't want to be that way, and don't like to be that way, which we don't always, we have to admit, we often, far too often, way too often, find our speech being destructive, unwholesome, lying, deceitful, angry, vengeful speech, even when we know that those things are not good. Even if we don't, if we're not a Christian, and we don't have any sense that these things are necessarily sinful before a holy God, we realize these things aren't good. They are destructive. They're destructive of marriage relationships and home relationships between parents and children, and they're destructive relationships among friends and with coworkers and with our employers and employees on the job. And we know it's not good, but we can't seem to help it, can we? That's the whole problem. We can tell ourselves we're not going to do that anymore, but we do it again. We do it again. We can tell ourselves we're not going to curse anymore, but we keep on doing it. We can tell ourselves we're going to stop lying, but we do it again. We can tell ourselves that we're not going to use any more hateful and hurtful speech, but before we know it, there it goes. It slips right out again. We can tell ourselves that we're not going to lose our temper and get angry anymore, but there it goes again. And that's what Paul is describing here. The Bible has pinpointed it exactly because, of course, God knows these things better than even we do. So man's conduct, first of all, is filled with sins of speech. That's as much as anything the proof that we are sinners. You know, when we talk about being sinners, most of us don't think about how sinfully corrupt our speech is. We don't think of that as being particularly harmful, at least not at first. But if we really think about it, give it any thought for any length of time, we know it is. We know that our speech is some of the most hurtful, harmful areas of life. We know it is so. And the Bible tells us it is so. And our own heart confirms that it is true. Sins of speech and then sins of violence. Verse 15, their feet are swift to shed blood. Wars, school violence, road rage, abortion. 1 in 50 born in America will be murdered. I'm not talking about abortion. I'm talking about murder, at least in the large cities. In the top 10 cities, populated cities in America, 1 in 50 people born in the 10 largest cities in America will end up being murdered. Can you believe it? That's what the statistics say. Incredible. In the civilized United States of America. We're not talking about Iraq. We're not talking about the jungles of Africa. We're talking about the United States of America. Where does that come from? The Bible tells us. It comes from man's sinful nature. This is man's character. Men are murderous in their thoughts. I will get what I want, even if I have to kill to do it. I want what I want. I will have what I want. Don't you get in the way. Don't you get in my path. Incredible, the level of violence. And it's not getting better, it's getting worse, because we have decided that we don't need God. We don't want God. We don't want God in the public place. We don't want God in the school. We don't want God in government. We don't want the Ten Commandments. We don't want these kinds of reminders of God and religious things. Why, we can make a better society by secular education, by teaching people to be kind and nice and to educate them out of crime and violence. Ha! How well is it working, folks? How well is it working? It's not, and you know it. The more you try to accomplish these things apart from God, apart from the Word of God, apart from the Spirit of God, the worse things get. It doesn't matter how much education, how much psychology, how much human wisdom you throw at it, it only gets worse, because if you start with the premise that man is basically good, when the Bible tells us, truthfully, that man is basically bad, when you start with the premise that men don't need God in order to be good, then you're not going to get anywhere. The only way to make men good is by the grace and power of God. We need to understand that. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.